my name is Peter Meyer, and I will be presenting this joint work with Jan Kirchner and Melanie Völkermann. And what I'm going to talk about is, like the last talk, password composition policies, but what really is a study that we conducted on password composition policies that is a replication of a study that was presented at this conference in 2010. And just to give you an idea what is ahead, I will first describe the original study briefly to give you the context, and then our replication and the conclusion we can draw from this replication. So the starting point of the original study was that the landscape of password composition policies on the internet is very diverse, but at the same time, we don't really know what drives strength in these password composition policies. And so the original authors set out to identify those website features that actually influence the strength of PCPs on the web. And they looked at quite a lot of features. I don't really have the time to go into detail here. What is important at this point is that there were six features, the ones on the top, that they hypothesized would increase password strength, and three that they hypothesized would decrease strength. And what they wanted to find out is what actually happened, what the actual effects are with respect to these hypotheses. And so they went on to gather a sample of different websites of different traffic ranks. They used the Quantcast traffic ranks here. So they had top traffic websites, high traffic websites, and median traffic websites of different ranks. And they gathered websites of different types. So they included the largest US banks, the biggest US universities, the US universities with the top computer science departments, and the government websites in the US with the highest traffic ranks. And after eliminating all the websites that did not have an account system in the sample, they ended up with 75 different websites from which they identified the password composition policies. And they searched the website simply for the policies, and whenever possible, they actually created an account to verify that the policy they use is really the policy that is put in place. And if they did not find the policy by themselves, they used an internet search to identify that. And they always used the first password composition policies they found. So on university websites, maybe different departments have different password composition policies, and they always use the first one they found. So from these password composition policies, they calculated strength, and this is not something that is meant to model guessing resistance or anything. It's really just the minimum password strength enforced by the password composition policy. It just takes the length and the log 2 of the minimum allowed character set. So if you have a choice, you can use the minimum allowed set. And with these strength values, they went on to evaluate the effects of the different website features. And again, I don't really have the time to go into detail here on the exact analysis, but some of these were based on, for example, correlation analyses, and some evaluations were based on argumentation. And so what they really found was that only three of the features they had a look at, namely these three at the bottom, which decrease password strength, actually had an effect. And all those that are related to security that they hypothesized would increase the strength of password composition policies actually had no effect at all. All right, so starting from these results and having revisited them, we asked ourselves mainly two questions. So it had been several years since the study, and a lot of large security incidents had happened, and so the question is, did that have an impact? Did anything change in the PCP landscape? And also, in the original study, they only had websites from the US, and we, well, ask ourselves, how does it look in different countries? And so we set out with a goal to replicate this study, but not only to revisit the original hypotheses, but also to do a comparison over time and across countries. So again, we set out to gather samples of websites, and We, of course, used the results of the original study, so we used the original sample. Then we updated that sample to represent what was to represent these websites in 2016. These were exactly the same websites to allow a longitudinal evaluation, and we just had to draw five of the websites. For example, some of them didn't have an account system anymore, and one didn't exist anymore. And then we went on to, we used the same methodology to identify the public composition policies and updated the strength values. And the last sample is a German sample that was gathered using the same methodology, only we used traffic ranks from German visitors, we used German banks, we used German universities, and so on. And now, while we stuck to the methodology of the original study as closely as possible, there are two deviations that I need to highlight here. The first one is that we had to use the Alexa ranks instead of the Quantcast ranks that were used in the original study, because the Quantcast ranks of the top traffic websites from German users, it just didn't seem representative. For example, Google, which has a market share in Germany in the search engine market of 95%, didn't even make the list. Neither did any of the other big search engines like Bing and Yahoo, and so we decided that this really didn't seem representative, and we used the Alexa ranks. Unfortunately, this also means that we have a little difference here, that because Alexa only gives us the top 500 websites, and so instead, for the medium traffic websites, instead of having the ranks 1001 to 1010, we only could use 491 to 500. And the second one I want to mention is that the original study relied on Quantcast info regarding whether websites accept advertising, so whether they display ads. But that information simply isn't available anymore, and so we resorted to manual checks. We went on the website and looked whether it displays ads or whether there is an advertisement program. All right, so using this methodology, we wanted basically to answer four research questions. And two of these relate to the comparison over time, and that is, has anything changed? So does the average PCP strength in the USIS sample change since the original study? And the second research question, do the effects that were found still apply in 2016? And with relation to the comparison across countries, the third research question is then, how do the German and US samples compare in terms of PCP strength? Are there any differences? And the fourth research question, do the effects of the website features actually translate from the US sample to the German sample? All right, so what did we find? With respect to the first research question, I bring you this little plot, and what you see here on the x-axis is the strength in the US sample in 2010, and on the y-axis, you have the strength in 2016. So every website, these little dots, that is above the diagonal, actually has increased the strength of their PCP since 2010. And if we look at the samples in greater detail, we actually see that in each category, the average PCP strength has risen. So this is not a phenomenon that is just for some websites. It's for basically all the websites. It's a general trend. And using a Wilcox-Sundrand rank test, we actually concluded that the average PCP strength has increased significantly in the US samples since the original study. So regarding the comparison of features over time, what we found is that basically the most things have remained the same. There's just one exception down at the bottom here, because it seems that the website feature, whether a site advertises, so whether a website displays ads, is not correlated with weaker PCPs anymore in 2016. Yeah, and this is the only deviation we found. Then, with respect to the third research question, we see that when comparing the US sample from 2016 and the German sample, that the German websites, on average, have much weaker password composition policies than the US websites. The only category where this does not hold is the top traffic websites, and this is simply because there's such a big overlap between the two samples. As a matter of fact, if we look closer, we can see that for three of the categories, the medium traffic websites, the banks, and the education, the password composition policies in the German sample in 2016 actually are weaker than they were in the US in 2010. And one category I really want to point out here are the banks. What you see in this graph is only the banking website. So this is the distribution of the strength values only of the banking websites. And we can see clearly that the German banks here are in blue, that they tend to be at the lower spectrum. And as a matter of fact, if we look at the median values, we can see that the average password composition policy of German banks is about half as strong as those in the US. And this is something I will be coming back to in a few moments. But for now, the bottom line here is that the German sample has generally weaker password composition policies than the USA in 2016. And in some instances, the password composition policies are even weaker than they were in the US in 2010. With respect to the last research question, how the features translate to other countries, we found that only one of the features, really that has an effect, translates to all three samples, and that is whether users have choice. So only whether users can choose alternative websites that offer to them the same service, let's say streaming services, actually decreases PCP strength in all of these three samples. Interestingly, so though the all the security features remain without effect in the in all samples. All right. So what did we learn from this replication? Well, from the comparison over time, we learn that the PCP strength in the USA has risen, and this is while looniat the new NIST recommendations that basically get away with all complexity restrictions, that is, something to think about at least. Then we learned that not all features translate over time, so it might be interesting to have a look in some years whether anything has changed again. And also, we still don't really know what increases PCP strength. So we now found that some of these website features have lost their effects, but we don't really know what drives PCPs up, because none of these security-related features seem to have an effect on PCP strength. Yeah, and so that's basically the open question. Like, we really need to find the features that actually drive strength up. With respect to the comparison across countries, we found that the PCPs in the German sample were generally weaker, and that, of course, raises the question whether how this is for other countries. And in particular, the German banks stand out. And what you have to understand here is that, on average, they have weak PCPs, but they also have tremendously restrictive PCPs. These are two examples here that are found on really large German banks, and that is you have to use an exactly six-digit PIN, or you have to use exactly five characters, you must have a letter, you must have a number, and you are not allowed to use any symbols. But they actually combine that with tight lockout policies. So for all the banks, you have three strikes and you're out. Your account is locked. You have actually to call the bank and have it unlocked again. And they mandate the usage of two-factor authorization. So with your password, you're allowed to access the account, but to actually transfer money or do anything to actually change your accounts, you have to provide a second factor, which usually is a transaction number that you have printed out on a list that was sent to you, or using a mobile device nowadays. And so we actually contacted banks about this, and they said, well, our systems are very secure, and we have these tight logout policies. We don't need strong policies. And so they seem to make this trade-off, having low strength PCPs combined with additional security features. And so we asked the question, well, do users actually find this appropriate, like having weak passwords for their banking account? Because usually online banking is something that people say is very important to them. And the second question is whether they would actually like to make this trade-off in other contexts as well. All right, and that's it.
Hello. I was just wondering about your calculation of the strength of the policy. My understanding, or maybe just speculation, is that a number of these policies are not designed to increase the space of possible passwords, but to sort of flatten out the distribution of human chosen passwords. You know, that is to kind of make what people do a little less non-uniform. Is that question clear?
I think so, yes. Okay. Well, we used the measure because it was used in the original study, and okay. It's a replication. We basically used this measure. We explicitly decided against using other measures because if you want reliable measures of password security, you actually have to collect passwords, and collecting sufficient amounts of passwords for all these policies is, well, these are quite a lot of passwords.
Hi, thank you for your talk. So I had a question about how the features were selected in the original study and whether or not you explored other features as well.
Well, they only explored the 9 features that I showed before. Mm-hmm. I can probably get that slide up. And they basically they looked at security features and the features that they found to be important in that they feared would decrease the password strength. So where usability considerations might be in place.
Thank you.
Sure. So still Dan Cosley from NSF and Cornell. I was curious if you could talk a little bit about, you know, you're giving this sort of quantified summary of details of the policy through the password strength thing. Was there sort of an observation that there were just a few very broad classes of very commonly used policies, like you were talking about with the German banks, or was there actually a lot of variety in exactly what the policies were?
For the German banks, there was actually quite a variety. It's like I chose this these two as examples, but there's basically all the varieties of these exactly 5 character policy. You have it with you must use symbols. You're not allowed symbols. You have to use letters. You're not allowed to use letters. You have to use them. It's crazy. So maybe this is something where they just want people to create unique passwords. But there were all kinds of stuff. But since it only uses the minimum length and the minimum number of character set, some of these come to the same place.